Welcome to the teaching ministry of Life Church. We exist to honor God through reaching our city and touching the world with the amazing love of Jesus Christ. Please join us now for this life-changing message.
How's everyone doing today? Well, last week, a few weeks ago, every time somebody came up to do the announcement, then it seemed like somebody would come up to preach the same word that was going on. Well, it happened again today when Pastor Josh got up. He had no idea what I was talking about, but he said, it's what we are here about, is coming into a relationship with Jesus Christ and God the Father. And the title of my message today is Eternal Life, the Way God Intended It. And if you was like me, you may have grew up in a church setting thinking that eternal life begins when we get to heaven, but that's not true. You may have grew up like me thinking that eternal life was Jesus just paying for your sins, and that's not true. Even though sin was important, but it was a barrier between you and God. True eternal life is you coming into a relationship with God and his power flowing through you and you growing into an intimate relationship with him. That's what true eternal life is. And in John 17, chapter 3, if you put that scripture up, verse 2, and he said, as you have given me authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And he said, this is eternal life, that they may know you. And that word know, it comes from a Greek word that's the same word in Genesis chapter 4 when Adam knew Eve and they conceived. It comes into like a sexual intercourse. And when we get to know the Lord, we begin to fall in love with the Lord. He begins to love us and we can start to conceive the blessings of his grace upon our lives. His power flowing through us. He begins to speak to us. He begins to walk with us and all those great things. The only true God in Jesus Christ whom you sent. So the Lord didn't want us to get saved and get stuck there. The Lord wants us to walk with him in a daily relationship. And the reason why he said true God, because we have an adversary who hates our guts, the devil. And he will always try to pamper us with lies and make us miss out on God's best every time. That's why I say that he won't give you the lie. He won't give you a lie up front, but what he'll do, he'll give you the half truth. And he will give you the truth, but it won't be the whole truth. It'll be a partial truth, and you will believe it, and it ended up being a lie. Just like me, like I said, I thought the only time I was supposed to be salvation was me just going to heaven, but it was a lie. But I got a scripture to stand up on that says in Proverbs 6, chapter 30, that when a thief is found out, that a person won't despise a thief when he's hungry, when he steals, but he must repay you. But when he's found out, he must restore sevenfold. Now, I thought about a thief, you know, when he's hungry and stuff, you know, you might have mercy on him because he's hungry just to satisfy his needs. But when it comes to him, the devil who hates your guts, we're not going to show him any mercy anymore. He must repay us back sevenfold for everything he stole from our lives. The blessings of God, whatever God has promised us, he has to repay sevenfold from this day forward. And that's a promise we're going to stand on today. Because many of us have been robbed of what true eternal life is. It's not about just going to heaven. Eternal life, God told me to tell you, eternal life begins right now. Right now. Not tomorrow, right now. If you are a child of God, eternal life begins right now. And Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. And that abundant life is the word that comes from Zoe. It means the life of God and what it was intended to be, like back in the Garden of Eden, when they was walking with God and before they fell, they was hearing the voice of God. And when they died, they said they died, but they didn't die physically, they died spiritually. That's why when God came walking in the garden, he was coming not to condemn them, but he was coming for fellowship, but they hid themselves from him. And that's one of the things that Jesus came back to restore to us was that life of God from hearing the voice of God. And that's the main thing I want to talk about today, that God does speak today. One way that God distinguishes himself from other gods is he's a God who speaks. And there's no other false God. We have a God who speaks. And I asked him, I said, how do we discern the voice of the God and the voice of error? And he gave me the scripture, Isaiah 44, 6 through 7. I don't have it. So he said, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, I am the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. And who can proclaim as I do? Then let him declare it and set it in order for me. Since I have appointed the angel of people and these things that are coming shall come, let them show these things to them. Well, one of the things how God reveals himself to us because he speaks to us. And that's one of the ways that Jesus, when he was in the wilderness, when Satan was coming at him with all type of thoughts, that he always referred back to the word of God. There it is. Do not fear, do not be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and declared it? You are my witnesses, and there is no God besides me, and there is no other rock. I know not one. God will always tell you things up front to put it in your heart that when time comes, when the enemy comes to attack you, that you stand on the word of God just like Jesus did. That's what the word is for. That's what the Holy Spirit is for. And since we know a God, he's a God who speaks, just think about it. If God didn't want to speak to you, everything that's created today was spoken into existence. The heavens and the earth were spoken into existence. Actually, you have been spoken into existence. Hebrews 1:3 said that everything is held together by the power of his word. If God's word was to fail today, the whole earth would self-destruct. Me and you both. Me and you both would self-destruct if God's word was to fail. But we have a God who said, even though heaven and earth may fail away, my word should not fail. My word should not pass. If you go to John 10:2, how do we tune into the voice of God? Well, Jesus said that my sheep know my voice. My sheep know my voice. And I thought about sheep, why he always gave the parable about the sheep. And it's very interesting. I always thought that it was something cute until I found out how dumb the sheep were. That sheep would always follow each other to the slaughter. That sheep would always have the tendency to roam astray. But one thing that brought the sheep back, that they was always supposed to be dependent on the voice of the master and the leading and the protection of the shepherd. If you go to John chapter 2, verse 10, verse 2, he says, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings his own sheep out, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they do not follow the voice of a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And like sheep, we have all gone astray sometime in our life. But the Bible says if we are his sheep, that he always leave the 100 to go after the one, and leave the 99, I'm sorry. And that is the only reason they come back is because of the voice of the shepherd. They know his voice. And the strangers, sometimes we walk with God and we hear different voices, but we have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, to help us to put those things back in line. Even an unbeliever, Proverbs 1, chapter 23, it says, turn at my rebuke, and I will make my spirit, I will pour my spirit on you, and I'll make my words known to you. Even sometimes God can speak to the unbeliever, but I'm not talking about a one-time experience. I'm talking about a daily walk with God. Because I remember a time in my life when God did speak to me when I wasn't saved. It was 10 years before I got saved. And we was at a restaurant, me and my boys was coming back from partying. And I knew it had to have been an act of God. It was a black neighborhood, old white couple, 80 years old, come out of an old school blue Cadillac, just pointed me out of the crowd, just pointed me and said, you need God in your life. Even though I didn't know God, I knew the word, and it stuck with me because everybody was around me like, who was that? I said, I have no idea who it was. They were scared to come around me and everything, and I got scared. I thought I was going to die that day. I thought I was going to die, drop dead and die, but as I started growing in the word, it wasn't for he could scare me. It was because he loved me, and he was getting my attention, and that was a beautiful thing. And sometimes, God told me to tell you, sometimes you put your hands on things, on your children, when you believe for stuff. And he's the only one that knows how to speak to that child. I don't care if he's in a broken state, if he's lost, if you don't know. God knows how to speak to that person. God knows how to speak to that person. And sometimes we may try to, pressure it on him like my mom and them did me. But it took a voice of a stranger, God speaking through him, to get my attention. And I take it any way I get it. If God can speak through a donkey in Numbers chapter 22, then he can speak through anybody. You know what I mean? I take it how I get it. And I thought about in 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says the natural man cannot receive the things of the Lord because they spiritually discern. That's why it takes the Spirit of God to come up on a person's life for him to be born again, for the Holy Spirit to reveal those things which God is speaking. And the reason why it's so, because Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life to those who receive them. The Holy Spirit reveals them and it contains the life of God. I was thinking about this, that when Mary and Elizabeth was joining each other, and Mary was pregnant in the womb, and Elizabeth was present in the room, and at the sound of Mary's voice, it said the baby leaped in her womb and was filled with the Holy Spirit right then. And then not only the baby was filled with the Holy Spirit, but Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit right after that. And I just said, dang, Lord, I wish that had happened today, man, where the baby's filling the womb with the Holy Spirit. That way the parent can't trying to contradict the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that it had just happened without them thinking. You know what I mean? That'd be a great miraculous sign today. Without the Spirit of God and the Word of God, it'd be hard for us to hear from the Lord. And sometimes we just have to position ourselves. But I want you to know one thing, that God does speak. He speaks all the time. Actually, he speaks right now. He speaks through creation without even saying a word. He speaks through creation without saying a word. You cannot tell me that you cannot go out and see a creator beyond the designs in this earth, that you know that God is speaking to you, that you know that God is real. And just like these radio receptions is here in this place today, you cannot see the electricity, but it's here. You know why? Because it's plugged in. You can hear my voice right now. And the voice of God is always being clearly heard, but you have to plug in and tap into it. You have to sensitize yourself to it. That's one thing about the sheep. They sensitized their voice to the shepherd because they would follow anybody. But one thing they wouldn't do was follow the voice of a stranger. They didn't have no, and when they went astray, they were so dumb, they didn't know how to find their way back home. They would go hide by a pond or streams of water, and the shepherd would always have to leave and go find them. But one thing he did have common sense about, he was sensitive to the voice of his master, of his shepherd. And that's when, if a sheep has to be sensitive to the voice of the shepherd, there's so much, how much are we supposed to be sensitive to it? Go to 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 10. And this is a story about Samuel. He was one of the greatest prophets to ever live. The Bible says that none of Samuel's word fell to the ground, that everything he said came to pass. But Samuel didn't always start out that way. He had to grow in the voice of God. He had to become intimate with the Lord. And it says, now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. And I thought about that word rare, and it meant that it was precious. It meant it was precious, something that needed to be heard. And how much more today in our time that we need the word of the Lord. It should be very precious in our lives. And it's not how we're going to make it without the word. How we're going to make it without hearing from God, you know, every day of our lives, you know what I mean? It's so precious today. And it said, it came to pass at that time while Eli was laying down in this place, and when his eyes had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, and before the lamp of God went out, the tabernacle of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and while Samuel was laying down, the Lord called Samuel and said, here I am. So he answered Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he said, no, I did not. Lie down again. And he went and lay down. Then the Lord called him again, Samuel, Samuel. So he rose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And he answered, I did not call you, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord in a personal relationship, nor was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he rose and went to Samuel and said, here I am, for you did call me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, go lay down again, and it shall be he who calls you that you must say, speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down again in his place. Then the Lord came and stood and called as the other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, said, sir, speak, for your servant hears. And that's one of the things that we all have to grow into. No one's perfect from hearing the voice of the Lord, but it's a growing. We got to grow into it. Just like a baby, when it's in the womb, it comes receptive to his mama's voice in the womb. But I guarantee you, as time and time goes by, you can have 100 people in this room, but once they hear the voice of that mother, they will know it's that mother. They will know it's that mother. They will begin to look around, jump around and everything, start crying because they hear the voice of someone who loves them, who cares for them, and they become familiar with it. So I ask you today, do you think God speaks? He wants to speak to you today. God never intended for us not to hear his voice. He never intended for you to come to church just to hear somebody else. That's what eternal life is, for you to wake up every morning to hear the voice of the Lord. You talk to him, he talks back to you, you listen, he listens. It's a dialogue. How can a relationship last if only one person talks and never listens? I'm just talking about if Tori and Josh, if Josh does all the talking and you never listen, then it's no relationship. That communication, that relationship is going to fail, I guarantee you. The same thing with God. He wants us to talk to him, but he also wants to talk back to us. And God speaks in various ways. God will speak through his word. God will speak through the Holy Spirit. God will speak to your heart. You can't put a box on how God speaks to you. But you have to know how he speaks to you. I can't tell you how God speaks to you. I can proclaim what God says. But God wants you to know his voice for yourself. And sometimes we may go through life, even I'm talking about Elijah right now, that the wrong time for us that we can hear from God is when our emotions or we're in a state of depression. And those things sort of cloud out the word of the Lord in our life. And it's when Elijah was on a great victory, but also it was on his own spiritual downfall when he became depressed. He was running from a letter from a woman. Actually, he just called down fire from heaven and then he get one letter from a word from a woman, and then he runs for his life. You tell me that ain't sort of strange, but he lost his focus. He knew the word of the Lord. He knew God's voice, but he let his emotions get in control of him. And the Lord was coming to him many different times. Can you put that scripture up? And I love the way the Lord answered him and the way he showed him. He said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by and a great strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks into pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and he went out and stood in the entrance and came. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here? And I like when the Bible used the word suddenly or then, it's when a supernatural act of God intervenes in the natural. See, Elijah knew fire from heaven. He seen it. He called down fire from heaven. But all those things were signs of God's judgmental side. What Elijah needed here was a tender, caring voice that was inside of him that he knew cared for him. And after that still small voice, that's when Elijah got strengthened and went on his journey. And that's what I say. Sometimes we may ask God for big signs, but God speaks in the subtle ways. He speaks to us in that still small voice where you know it's him. And it's a peace that passes all understanding. I tell you, once you realize and understand God's voice in your life, it will change your life. Yeah. It'll change your life because you can be standing on a promise. Your friend may try to encourage you, but when you hear a word from the Lord in that deep desperation state and you know it's him, it'll be a peace that comes over your soul. You say, hey, this is God. I'm standing on this word right here. No matter what happens, no matter what. And that's how God wants us to live. It's like you can be reading the word of God and all of a sudden something, boom, just jumps in your spirit, like when the baby jumped in the womb in Elizabeth. You know it's God. Nobody else can tell you different. I'm thinking about the tent of meetings where, how in the Old Testament, how people used to have to meet with God. Only Moses could meet with God, the tent of meetings. And it said Moses would pitch his tent from different places, and God would talk to him face to face. But now in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, all those things were foreshadows of things to come. It all pointed to Jesus. The Bible says now we are temples of the living God. And God said, I will dwell in them. I will walk among them. So if God want to take residence in your life, do you think he won't speak to you, spend time with you, care for you, and you talk to him? I'm just asking a question. God does want to speak. You don't have to come to church to hear God speak, even though it's important. Even though it's important, I love that. And it says, for you are the temple of the living God, and the God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they should be my people. And I thought about a child and an adult walking that a child always trusts the person who's holding their hand. They always communicating. They always trusting each other. And I always thought about, you know, sometimes we may come to God like thinking of God like we're interrupting his time, that he doesn't want to hear from us. But God transcends time. God can be dealing with 1,000 people at one time, and you have a need or you want to spend time with you, he's there. He's there. It doesn't matter where you're at. God doesn't take a lunch break. He's not on the clock. He's not some far away. He's right here with you right now. I thought about different people I could have access to, like the President of the United States. I would love to see what's on his heart and his mind, you know, just to talk to him, just to see what's going on. But I could probably write him 1,000,000 letters right now. He'd probably never respond. I could probably call him, try to get a phone call. But what Jesus made me access to God, I don't have to wait on no appointment to talk to God. I could talk to God right now while I'm on this stage and get revelation from him, you know what I mean? In Mark chapter 15, 37 through 38, this is the whole reason why he came. It says when Jesus took his last breath, that immediately the veil was ripped from top to bottom. And what does that mean? When you understand the veil in the Old Testament, the veil separated the most holy of holies from God's presence, from God's people. And the high priest could only go in there once a year. But as soon as Jesus took his last breath, they said the veil was ripped from top to bottom. And they said it gave entrance for everyone to come to have fellowship with God, for us to spend time with the Lord. And I thought about that. It wasn't for us to just go to heaven. That's important, but it's all about us having a relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's His heart's desire for us. So I ask you today, maybe you have been in a state where you feel like God, you feel like unworthy, like God can't speak to you today. Maybe you was like me who grew up on religion, that devil lied to you, said God doesn't speak, that God only speaks to pastors, prophets, evangelists, but God speaks to every one of His children. Everyone, no one's exempt. No one's exempt. But first, I believe God can speak to an unbeliever, but God wants more than that. God wants you to become a son and a daughter. What person who would not have a son or daughter spend time to him and talk to him? It just doesn't make any sense. God is not an absentee father. He never has and never will be. And God loves to hear from you. He loves for you to hear from Him. And we all grow in this. No one starts out perfect.
Thank you for being part of the teaching ministry of Life Church. Our hope is that you take this message and apply it to your life in a practical way. If you would like more information about this ministry and you are in the St. Louis area, call us at 314-843-5575. If you are outside the St. Louis area, call us toll-free at 1-800-610-LIFE. If you would like to write us, our address is 1416 Larkin Williams Road, Fenton, Missouri, 63026. Or visit us at our website at lifechurch-stl.com.